Welcome to MedTech Science to Society, the podcast that explores the intersection of science and society. This podcast series is brought to you by UCT MedTech in collaboration with the UCT Biomedical Engineering Research Center, where cutting-edge medical technology meets compassionate healthcare. Join us as we dive deep into the latest breakthroughs and innovations and how they're shaping the world we live in. Thanks for clicking play.
Hi, and welcome to today's episode of MedTech Science to Society. In this episode, we have the pleasure of chatting with Sarah McEwen, Senior Technical Officer and Biomedical Engineer at UCT MedTech. Sarah has been overseeing various projects in the MedTech sector and has collaborated extensively with notable stakeholders in the industry. She obtained an MSc in Biomedical Engineering from UCT, achieving distinction. She joins me today to chat about her work and transition from being a student to working in biomedical engineering full-time. Thanks for joining me, Sarah.
Thank you for having me, Nicola.
Firstly, before we jump into the work that you do now, can you tell me about the journey transitioning from being a student to what you currently do?
I think it was a very interesting transition as we had learned a lot of theoretical knowledge in terms of the regulatory side just from a textbook. But going to the real world and actually facing that problem full on, you realize the challenges associated to every single step of that, whether it be regulatory compliance, the funding, the clinical trials. And it can be very scary, but I think what we got taught within our MSc, first year of the medical device design course, it prepped us to deal with these hurdles. But actually getting to that point where you are facing it head on, it's been a lot, but it's also shown that the need to lean on others for support. Being in the academic space, you need to foster collaborations wherever possible. We are limited with our knowledge, and this I think is it's applicable to many others in different spaces, but that partnership and collaboration is essential. And that's what I've found the most unique about being in this space.
Mm. What are the challenges associated with being a student in the same space that you are now a full-time employee? You know, often you find that you're still treated a bit like a student because you were a student in this space. You know, do you find that challenging?
I think what's great about being in the space at UCT MedTech in particular is that even though I'm past that student phase, we still have many interactions with the students. And so that transition in terms of the student interaction has been great because you can provide real life feedback to them and help them through their different projects. And it varies what projects they're doing, what different challenges they face, because each are very unique depending on their device. But the transition, there hasn't been a struggle transitioning from a student to professional. There is a clear line of what expectations are, but it is still great to have that student interaction with the current students. And what is great, also you have a lot of visitors coming abroad and internationally that you also get to help and assist. I personally have supervised some local interns from UCT, as well as international students from the University of Delaware. And it was very interesting to see them given the same projects, and how the different outcomes and how I could support them with going through my learnings as a student and to where I am now.
Mm. And I think it's also important that you were where they are now, so you can really understand, you know, the problems that they face and the challenges that they deal with. You're a woman in engineering, and we still live in a society where that is rare and it's unique. Can you speak about being a woman in this space and how it has impacted your career for the positives or for the negatives?
So my journey with being a woman in tech really started when at the end of high school. I went to a career guidance counselor, and I really enjoyed medicine, but also really enjoyed math and science. And because I was from an all-girls school, a lot of us did enjoy that subject and we excelled quite well in it. But when I chose the route of doing mechanical engineering as my undergrad, I realized the reality of being a woman in tech and a woman in the STEM field in particular. I was one of the five girls in an 80 to 100 odd class, and that was really contrasting. And during that time, also had the opportunity to tutor math and science to a local community township there at Stellenbosch. And the students that kept on coming were, funny enough, always women. all girls. And that just really inspired me to really take on the next step and complete my initial goal in mind, which was to be a woman in tech, complete my biomedical engineering master's and try make waves where I can and if I can and try inspire others.
Mm. Are there any challenges that you find yourself facing as a woman in tech versus perhaps your male colleagues?
I think what is sometimes a difference that I face is that people, they sometimes judge a book by its cover. Being a petite lady in this industry, there's this prejudgment already there that exists. When I get to meet people and when we start to engage, I mean, the first thing sometimes they'll say is I'm an art student or whatnot, just because I do enjoy color blocking and dressing in bright colors. But after that engagement and trying to prove myself and prove who I am and what I can bring to the table, you can see that transition that's happening on their side too. I deal with a lot of male counterparts in terms of the different, my different stakeholders. And it's great to form those relationships and improve their prejudgments differently and showing what I have to offer.
Mm. And telling us, you know, you're a role model for other women who might be small or petite or pretty and want to go into the space as well.
Yeah.
Tell me, back to your studies in biomedical engineering, what key skills did you learn physically while you were studying that you use daily now?
I think maybe resilience is probably the first one. But obviously the key one is problem solving and not to really panic when a challenge comes your way. And there's different hurdles that you need to face in different aspects. And I think when we got partnered up with a clinician for our medical device design course, and, you know, to lean on their knowledge and realizing other people's knowledge is just as valuable, what you can bring to the table is really important. And I've really used that a lot in asking and engaging with more people to overcome these challenges. And yeah, it all comes down to problem solving, and but also having resilience in that same breath.
Mm. Notable problems and notable projects that you are busy with at the moment. Can you speak about projects that you've worked on in the past, what you're busy working on at the moment, and how you kind of go about your day to day?
So interesting enough, my projects are all being in a similar sphere without actually, it just kind of happened and fell into place that way. In my mechanical engineering final thesis, I worked on redesigning the nasal prongs slash mask for the pediatric population to suit the sub-Saharan facial features, which was great and unique. And I came up with a great prototype. And then I went to complete my master's in biomedical engineering, where I redesigned a pediatric rigid bronchoscope that could provide constant ventilation and ease of use particularly for children patients who aspire foreign bodies that ends up in their lungs. And now I've been working on UC Vent, which is non-invasive ventilator, which is everything's the same space. And the key thing about UC Vent is to make it a modular design. We found that during COVID, to be reliant on international supply chain does not work. And so our components are modular in the fact that any local manufacturer here can design it themselves. We've also allowed it to be software-defined ventilation. So with a simple software update, you can target any future pandemics that may arise. Having the low infrastructure sometimes that Africa sometimes provides us in terms of power and energy and power supply, we've also have a large battery life and allowing for portability too. But overall, there's been a lot of other innovations at UCT Maytech, which I've had a part in. But I just wanted to end off probably the section by saying that even though we are designing and we have limited resources here, it allows our devices to actually fit the African context and not be super innovative. It's not about reinventing the wheel, but rethinking it. And sometimes having that limited resources or availability to things make you think differently and make the end device more user appropriate for the end user.
Mm, definitely. your plans for the future and the future of biomedical engineering in South Africa, if you had the ability to make and implement all the change needed to make all the change happen, what would you do?
I think the biggest thing that I'd like to do is that we have a lot of student projects that end up at a great proof of concept level. They've tested it on cadavers or what may be, and it's a really great prototype. However, that next stage of that funding and commercialization, the next stage of development of the medical device is the most challenging part because you need all those partnerships. And I would really like to see those devices actually reach market and find a way to assist in terms of either the QMS, the regulatory side, the compliance side, or the funding side to really get those devices to the next stage and not just sit like white elephants when they could make a potential difference to real world end users. So I think that's where I see myself fitting in within the med tech space, and hopefully we can have an increase in localization of our medical devices and we don't have to rely on international supply chain for our medical devices, and we can boost our med tech industry here.
Any advice to other women or young girls who might be wanting to venture into the space?
How long do we have? I think I have mentioned resilience, but be resilient to change. If anything's changing, you know, overcome that. Don't be scared. Just do it. Yeah, don't be scared. Apply for new opportunities. I think just explore different things that are out there, and don't put yourself in one space or one predefined box that someone else may have done for you or your society has said, you know. So rather get out that box, you know, apply to new opportunities, whatever arises, volunteer, do what you can. I promise you people are watching, people are seeing those little things. So yeah, I think I think it's like what Nike says, just do it, you know, get out there. And don't be single-minded, be open-minded. And I think my biggest advice would be to engage with others and really lean in on those contacts that you have. And don't be afraid to ask your contacts to expand your network. Networking is huge in this space. And sometimes not about what you know, but who you know. And my parents always remind me that little saying. So keep networking, keep reaching out to people. There's people here that are wanting to help others. And if you don't understand where to start, we're here to help you with that initial step and further steps.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Sarah, and all the best for the future.
Thank you, Nicola.
Thank you for tuning in to MedTech Science to Society, the podcast that explains the convergence of science and society with biomedical engineering. We hope that you enjoyed this episode, brought to you by UCT MedTech in collaboration with the UCT Biomedical Engineering Research Center, where advanced medical technology merges with compassionate healthcare. Stay up to date with the latest innovations, discoveries, and advancements, and how they impact the world around us. Find UCT MedTech on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram to stay up to date. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Thanks for clicking play.